David, you did a good job, brother. I'll tell you. Kind of like trying a new restaurant, isn't it? Not really. Those are beautiful songs. First time I ever heard that song, I was over in Montgomery, Alabama, conducting a gospel meeting. And I always really liked that song, but it's not one that we normally sing, but it's a very beautiful, beautiful song. It really, really is. How many of you find it tough to get along with difficult people? Nobody? Well, we'll change that lesson. How many of you, let me ask you this way, how many of you are difficult people? Thank you, Bridget. Yeah, she raised your hand, yeah. You know, doesn't it make you feel good to be around people that are easy to get along with? You say that a lot of times about people. Boy, they're just so easy to get along with. You know, sometimes there are people that are extremely difficult, and nothing you could ever do would ever please them. I mean, they're just extremely difficult. I heard about a young man one time named Brian. And Brian was one of the world's greatest hypochondriacs. You ever known hypochondriacs? He bumped into his doctor one day at the supermarket and said, "Doc," he said, "I've been meaning to tell you." He said, you remember those voices that I kept on hearing in my head? He said, "I haven't heard them for a week." And the doctor looked at him and he said, "Wow." He said, "What wonderful news, Brian." He said, "I'm so happy for you," the doctor exclaimed. And Brian, with somewhat of a dismal look, said, "Wonderful?" He said, "There's nothing wonderful about it." He said, "I'm afraid now that I'm beginning to lose my hearing." There are some people in this world you will never, ever play. They are difficult to get along with where there are humans. There will always be misunderstandings. There will always be differences in opinions, even if those humans profess to be Christians or children of God. I want to talk to you tonight about how to get along with difficult people. The reason I want to do this is because I know that in the church sometimes it's tough to get along with difficult people. And there are some difficult people in the body of Christ. And there are difficult people that we work with at the workplace. Young people go to school, and some of their peers, they find it extremely difficult to get along with. Let me tell you, first of all, about 9 types of difficult people. The first one being the Sherman tank who will run right over you. Have you ever known of people like that? I mean, they just run right over you. It doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. They just run right over you. And then there is the star performer who believes that he has the right or he is entitled to your undivided attention. You ever been around people like that? You try to get a word in edgewise and they're just talking over you constantly. Now I'm an advocate of Fox News. I like Fox News. But some of those commentators I don't care for too much, because even when they invite guests on their program, instead of allowing those people to speak, they just kind of talk over them. They don't even give them a chance to even verbalize anything at all about what they think. And then there is the megaphone who will talk your arm off. You know the kind I'm talking about. Difficult people. You get around them. I mean, you know, they're just talking all the time. And then there is the bubble buster who always deflates everyone else's enthusiasm. You may get excited about certain things in life, but you're zealous and you're like the one of whom the Holy Scripture says, "Zeal for thy house hath consumed me," and you're so excited about what you're doing, and someone comes along and they just bust your bubble. And then there is the volcano that has the explosive erupting temper. You know the kind I'm talking about. And then there is the crybaby, the chronic complainer. Now, you may live with someone like that. I don't know. There is the nitpicker, who is an unappeasable perfectionist. There is the backbiter, the one who would stab you in the back if they had the opportunity. And then there is the space cadet, who's on a different wavelength, who marches to the beat of a different drum. It's difficult to be around people like that. It is for me. I don't know about you. Maybe you can handle that real easily and it doesn't bother you at all. Well, let me tell you five truths tonight about difficult people. I would tell you, first of all, that everybody has a difficult person in their life. Have you ever looked at people and you say, well, you know, they never have any trouble at all getting along with anyone. They never have to face difficulty. Everything is just wonderful and hunky-dory every day. Now, you'd like to believe that, wouldn't you? But it's just not true. Everybody has a difficult person in their life. Number two, everybody becomes a difficult person to someone. Now, you don't like to think of yourself as a difficult person. But sometimes people perceive you as a difficult person to get along with. Whether you believe that or not, Jesus faced difficult people every day, and there is a solution to dealing with difficult people. We're going to be talking about that tonight. But thirdly, we can seldom change those people, but we can change the way we relate to them. But number four, we will not get along equally with everyone. Some people may not like you. You know what? When I first started preaching the gospel, I thought everybody ought to like me. I thought I was such a good guy that everybody ought to like me. And I found out after we married, there were some things about me my wife didn't like. We should not expect everyone to agree with us all the time. There are times when we just are not going to agree with each other. Who was it that said we just need to agree to be what? To disagree, not be disagreeable. We must number six, must manage our expectations of others and ourselves as well. You know, sometimes our expectations of other people is just out of bounds. Sometimes we expect too much of people. We do. And then number seven, we often give up too soon on some relationships. A lot of people write off relationships. I'm glad that God doesn't do that. You know, probably a lot of the Jewish people had written off people like Zacchaeus and perhaps the adulterous woman in John chapter 8 and the one in John chapter 4 in Samaria, but Jesus had not written them off. Sometimes we look at people and we say, well, you know, those people will never, ever become Christians. They will never, ever change. But I have seen dramatic changes in the lives of a lot of people as I have preached the gospel through the years. Some who have been converted to Christ that I never in my fondest imagination would have ever believed that they would have ever become Christians. And there are some of you that are sitting here tonight of whom I speak. And I say that in love because I thank God that He moved on your heart. But then number eight, we get along best when we are mature spiritually and emotionally. You know, God made us emotional beings. He did. He gave us the ability to laugh. He gave us the ability to cry. He gave us the ability to feel certain emotions within our body. But sometimes people allow their emotions to control them instead of people controlling their emotions. Now, there are seven biblical responses, I believe, that God gives to us to deal with difficult people. Let me share those with you. I know I'm going through numbers here, but I hope you're keeping up with me. Number one, realize that you can't please everybody. In the book of John chapter 5, verse 30 and 31, Jesus deals with a group of difficult Jews who are trying to denounce his divinity. And actually, they're trying to disclaim his authority as the Son of God. And so in that book of John, he appeals to them. He uses four witnesses to appeal to his authority. He mentions, first of all, John the Baptist. If you're reading there in John chapter 5, verse 33 through 35, Jesus mentions John the Baptist as one of those witnesses who would foretell of the coming Messiah or the coming Christ. He mentions not only John the Baptist, but he mentions others. He mentions his own works, if you will, in verse 36. He mentions his own Father in heaven, verse 37 through 44. And then last of all, he mentions Moses as a witness to those people in verse 45 through verse 47. But Jesus realized that he would never, ever win everybody. He would never, ever be able to please everyone, even though he appealed to them. And it's a tough lesson that you and I have to learn in life. You're not going to please everybody. You're going to have Democrats in this country, just as you're going to have Republicans. You're going to have libertarians in this country. You're going to have independents in this country, politically speaking. And not every man who is running for office is going to appease everybody. We have an election coming up this coming Tuesday. Some of you will vote one way, others will vote another way. There are some things you like, some things you don't like. Up in the state of New Jersey, there is a big election coming up there between the Republicans and the Democrats in that gubernatorial election. Some like one, some don't like that one. They like the other one. You cannot please everybody, and it is a lesson that I had to learn early on in my life, because I'm going to tell you something. It was a difficult lesson for me to learn, because I really believe that I was preaching the gospel, I was doing the right thing, I was trying to have the right spirit, but there are some people who just didn't like me. And that troubled me, seriously. But I've learned to accept that. I've learned to accept it because my Lord taught me to accept it. But secondly, refuse to play their game or be manipulated by difficult people. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, certain ones had come to Jesus and they were really tempting him concerning his authority. And they were dealing with it because Christ had claimed to have authority even over Caesar. And they came unto Jesus and they said, "Who in the world are you to think that you have authority over Caesar?" And Jesus says, let me see a coin. They gave him a penny or a denarii. And he asked them a question. He says, "Whose inscription is on this coin?" And they said, "Well, it's Caesar's inscription." And he said, "Well, let me tell you what to do." He says, "I want you to render unto Caesar that which is his, and then unto God that which is his." Jesus sanctioned the paying of taxes. He sanctioned civil government. He never denounced it. But there were those who were trying to tempt him. And he turns to him and he says, "Why are you trying to tempt me?" And he even calls them, "You hypocrites." He said, "Render unto God that which is his, but unto Caesar that which is his." And you and I are to do the same. We have a moral obligation to this country. But we also have a moral and a spiritual obligation to God Almighty. And we talked about that in our Bible class this morning. In the book of Acts chapter 5, Peter and John said, we must obey God rather than men. The Pharisees tried to catch Jesus by pitting him against the government. But he refused to play their game. But then, when you think about some of the biblical responses to difficult people, thirdly, never retaliate. Now, I'm going to tell you, most of us, when we are done wrong, want to retaliate. That is our response. I don't care whether we're Christians or not. I'm telling you, most people are ready to fight back if wrong has been done. And Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 38 and 39, said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, if a man slaps you on one cheek, you turn to him the other also. And then on one occasion, Christ said, you remember, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to him who has the right to execute vengeance. Never retaliate against difficult people. But number four, pray for them. Again, in the fifth chapter of Matthew, verse 44, Jesus said to pray for those that would despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. Number five, control your temper. That's difficult too, isn't it? It is. Especially when people make you mad. I hear people justify and say, well, they just made me mad. Well, when would you vent your temper otherwise? Most of the time you're not going to do that, are you? No, you're not. Control your temper. In the book of Proverbs 15, verse 1, the Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. And then in verse 18, it says that a man who is slow to anger will appease wrath and strife. Control your temper. Number six, be quick to forgive and be quicker to ask forgiveness. Matthew 6. Isn't that what Christ taught? He said, forgive and you shall be forgiven. We should seek the forgiveness of others, but we should also be willing to forgive. Number seven, remember that everything and everyone is under the power of Almighty God. One of the great lessons in the book of Job has to be this lesson, for in the ninth chapter of the book of Job, beginning in verse 2 and reading through verse 5, Job asks the question. He says, you being a just God, he says, how can man be just with God? And he begins to talk about a number of things here, and then he, in his mind, is trying to analyze, how in the world could we possibly be just with you? Remember that everything and everyone is under the dominion of God's power. God can change them. You've heard me say that about presidents and kings. God brings them up, but God can bring them down. He can. We need a lot of praying going on in this country about a lot of things in Washington. But there are six qualities that enable us to cope with difficult people, last of all. Number one, take the high road. Do the right thing regardless. For Colossians 3 and verse 12 says, to put on, holy beloved, mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. It's almost identical in that Colossian letter to what Paul says we're to do in the book of Galatians chapter 5, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. These are the things that we ought to put on. And remember who we are. We're God's people. We are dearly beloved by God, and we are expected to live holy lives. So we take the high road. We're not trying to get even. We're not trying to seek revenge. We're not trying to be uglier than the person who was ugly to us. But number two, remember that you are not perfect either. Have you ever thought about this? You may be someone else's difficult person. No one would like to hear that. But you just may very well be that difficult person that someone else is having to put up with. And that's why Colossians 3, verse 13 and 14 says that we are to forgive one another. We are to forbear one with another. And then he says, above all, put on charity. If you're reading the King James, New International says love. Above all things, put on love. Remember that you are forgiven. Remember that the Lord is patient with you as you grow to overcome your own weaknesses and your bad behavior. But number three, Your actions are more important than your feelings. Colossians 3, verse 8 through 10. Paul talks about things a little earlier here, what we ought to put on, but then he talks about certain things that we have to put off, we have to take off. And he says, take off your anger and your malice and your wrath and your blasphemy. And do not lie, for you are created in Christ as a new man. Your actions are more important than your feelings. Now, your feelings may be sending you in one direction emotionally. They do that. But you can choose attitudes and behaviors that move you in the right direction. I know sometimes people think, well, you know, I really don't have that much control over my mind. Yes, you do. You can control your mind. God says you can. He says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made of himself no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of it, God highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on the earth, and even things under the earth. Even hell bows to the authority of Jesus Christ. If you feel dislike for another person, and there are times when we do that, you show them kindness. Let me tell you why you do that. Some people say, well, if I show them kindness and I feel dislike toward them, I'm being hypocritical. No, you're not. You're being holy. You're not being a hypocrite, but you're being holy. When you do the right thing. As I said, God is more concerned about your actions than your feelings. But then number four, bring Christ with you into every conversation. For Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Now we use that text to talk about the fact that we're to sing a cappella. That we sing songs, because the very next verse talks about the fact that we're to sing and sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. But we forget the part of it that says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have a conversation with someone and angry words are about to be exchanged, ask, how would Jesus deal with this situation? What would Jesus say? But then number five, pursue personal peace. You want to learn how to deal with difficult people? Colossians 3:15, pursue peace. The Bible says, seek peace and pursue it. People, I have learned this in life, seriously. People who constantly stir up tension in relationships do it because they have no peace in themselves. You mark my word, what I'm telling you. People that constantly go about stirring up strife, and people who go about stirring up tension, do it because they have no peace within themselves. For people who have peace do not desire to stir up things. There are some who try to make you mad, who do things unkindly to you, who say things, who treat you unkindly. Listen, seek peace and pursue it. People are going to treat you sometimes like dirt. I don't care who you are. They don't care what you think. They don't care about your feelings. They did in the life of Jesus. The hardest part of dealing with difficult people is coping with the stress and bearing the burden of being the mature person in the relationship, the honorable one in the relationship. We often ask, why can't they do their part? They may never do their part. There's no easy answer. But number six, take only authorized actions. I hear people say all the time, well, we should just think about those little letters. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, you know what? I've thought a lot about that, and I know young people wear that little, you know, bracelet on their hand. You see it sometimes. It says, WWJD, what would Jesus do? But I've really thought about that. That's subjective. You don't know what Jesus is going to do. That's subjective. It should be not WWJD, what would Jesus do, but it rather should be, what did Jesus tell me to do? What did he tell me to do? How did he tell me to deal with difficult people? Well, there are five verses, and I'm going to close with this, that tell us why we need to get along with difficult people. And they're found in the book of 1 Peter 2, verse 19 through 23. Now, I'm reading from the New International Version tonight. It says, for it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive beating, it says, or punishment for doing wrong and you endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Who committed no sin, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Now, that's how you deal with difficult people. I'm not saying that any of us tonight are masters of being able to do that. I'm not telling you that I can do it all the time either. But I work at it. And I work at it daily. Because I'm going to tell you something. We deal with difficult people. I mean, everywhere you go, you deal with difficult people, don't you? I mean, it may be out at the supermarket. It may be at your job. It may be with the IRS. Lord knows. It may be with a bill collector. We've been dealing with a bill collector from Audrey's last surgery up in Dallas. The bill has been paid, but we keep getting statements from it saying that they turned it over to someone who's going to pursue it. And we just keep saying, I'm at peace, brother. You go right ahead. I'm kind of like the man who called his banker, and the banker called him up and told him that he was overdrawn in his account. And the man asked the banker, he says, well, are you worried about it? And he says, yes, I'm extremely worried about it. And he said, well, there's no need in both of us worrying about it. Dealing with difficult people, we all have to do it. I hope we can learn from what we've shared with you tonight how to do it better. And that's what this lesson's been about. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you certainly can't do it without the Lord's help. But with God's help, we can accomplish all things. Jesus said all things are possible with God, but not all things are possible with man. It's certainly not possible for you to go to heaven without becoming a Christian. And if you believe tonight in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to yield to him in the act of baptism to become one, then we're going to sing a song of encouragement in a moment to give you the opportunity to make your way to the front of the building to acknowledge that. Or if your desire is to live closer to the Lord and to rededicate your life to him, then we certainly implore and invite you to come while we stand and sing.